Good morning, beloved. It's Sunday, April the 26th, 2020. It's the last Sunday of April, actually, today, and the sixth Sunday in which we have not met together for worship. I sure miss you all, and I trust that you are all doing okay in this isolation pattern, or as one person has called it, being imprisoned at home. Maybe that's an appropriate way to state it. Maybe that's what it's feeling like about now after these 6 weeks. But still, we must be vigilant and careful. Sounds like we might be coming to an end of the isolation as federal and provincial leaders are putting strategies in place for a gradual reopening of businesses and other places. And we'll trust that as soon as they would permit gatherings of 50 people, we'll let you know and we'll get back together because we are somewhat less than 50 around here. But I guess we'll see. Ontario has emergency measures in place until May the 6th, and that might extend to the middle of May. And that is, of course, unless they change their modeling systems again, and so it may be sooner than later. We'll keep trusting the Lord in all of this, and I trust that your faith is keeping strong, that you're focused on the Lord Jesus Christ every day, every moment. I am still praying for you all, and can't wait to see your faces once again. Just a few announcements. Church services obviously are still canceled for a few more weeks but please keep in touch with one another as you are able, and we'll do our best to do that as well. Secondly, thank you for sending in your tithes and offerings. So far in April, we've had 3 weeks in. This is the fourth Sunday. But in the three Sundays, the 3 weeks previous to today, we have received $946.84 for missions, $4,626.16 for ministry, $728 in designated missions, $843.38 in designated ministry, and $740 in designations to the mortgage challenge. We also received $20 for the benevolent fund. And so we have for the month of April so far receipts of $7,901.38. And so I thank you all for your faithfulness in giving to the Lord Jesus through our local church, Berean Baptist. Thirdly, everyone, it seems, is doing okay, as far as I know. No one has succumbed to the virus, no matter how old or young we are, and for that we praise the Lord. All other matters seem to be holding their own in terms of the Marv Armstrong and Wayne Berry. We thank the Lord for his continual help in their lives and guiding and directing for them. Once again, if you would like a copy of the first quarter financial report, which are available, drop by the church sometime to pick one up. We had a couple of people on Friday that dropped in during the hours of 10 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, drop off their offering and picked up a copy of the first quarter financial report. And so if you want to come by and get one, then you are welcome to do that. Fridays for sure from 10 to 2. If you want to drop by other times, you might want to call the church first, make sure that I'm here. Fifthly, I want to say thank you to you for your prayers on my behalf. My gout is pretty much settled down now, and my optometrist put a prism on one of the lenses of my glasses, which has eased the double vision that I've had in terms of distance. So I'm just a little bit more confident in driving now, and not because I don't see twice as many cars on the road as I did before. So thank you for your prayers. And lastly, just so you know, Robert and Linda Wilkinson have undertaken to set up a little video booth here in the auditorium, and Linda is signing the services that we have recorded, and Robert is videotaping them, and all of that for our deaf folk, so that they have opportunity to be a part of the services as well. I have sent out transcripts of the services to some, at least to Karen, anyways, who asked if she could have them. And for Bruce and Josie, they thought that this would be a better way for them by videotaping Linda. So they have been diligently working at that over the last couple of days, and we want to thank them for that ministry and for that help. So if you would bow with me for a few moments, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for, again, this day, a little cloudy and rainy today, but still it is the day of the Lord, and we will be glad to be in this day. And we thank you so much for your watchful care over each one of us and how you guide and direct in all of our lives. We thank you for your continued ministry in our lives by your Spirit and by Christ who lives in our hearts by faith. We thank you for just the health and the well-being that you have given to us. We are still mindful of Marv's struggle with the cancer. Thank you so much how you have kept him with bright spirits and great faith and trust in you. And we thank you for that. We pray for Wayne Berry as well, who, as last we heard, was not doing very well. But Lord, he is still in your hands, and we thank you for keeping him and that you will continue to minister to him. And then to Marg as well, who's still up there in Parry Sound, that you would bless them. For others who are struggling with just their ongoing difficulties that we all seem to have, I pray that you will continue to bless and undertake. Watch over our seniors in seniors' homes and retirement homes and shut in their own homes. We just pray that you'll continue to bless, undertake for them. Father, we thank you for our missionaries. Pray that you'll continue to bless them on the field. They are probably dealing with same kinds of things that we are, and in keeping distance from people and not being able to maybe get out and visit and do kinds of ministries that they would like to do. So we pray that you will help them to have wisdom and discernment and understanding in how best to carry out their work that you have given them to do, as we pray for ourselves as well. And we pray that you'll bless them, keep them safe during all of this time. We thank you for the folks who are serving on the front lines of the health care system, our doctors, nurses, emergency personnel. We think of the police services and fire services as well. We think of those who are working in grocery stores and pharmacies, and even the truck drivers who are delivering goods to various places still. We thank you for them and pray you'll continue to strengthen them and bless them for the efforts that they are putting forth in this time of pandemic and health concerns. We do pray that, Father, in your will and in your blessing for this this earth, that you might remove the threats of the COVID-19 virus. We understand that coronaviruses are with us all the time, sometimes a little worse than others, as we may be experiencing now. And so we would pray that you would take your will and turn it to removing the virus. As we will see a little bit later in our message this morning, we know and understand that there are purposes for all of this, and we trust that those purposes might be realized by people on earth, that you are God, you are the sovereign Lord, you are Savior of mankind, and that we might learn those lessons through all of this. But we also then pray that you might take away the virus, or at least lessen its threatening and work in many people's lives. We are sorry for those who have died through this virus, and pray that you would be with families and friends and loved ones who have lost their loved ones through all of this. We also would pray for our governments, federal, provincial, municipal, as they work through some scenarios and scheduling for reopening businesses and situations. We think that just reopening life again and allowing people out of their homes. We pray that folks would be wise as they venture out still to keep safe through all of this. But we look forward to the day when we are able to meet once again unhindered, yet still safe, and be able to get back together here to worship the Lord in this place. We also would pray for our witness through all of this time, that as we have opportunities, we pray that you would help us to be a good witness for the Lord Jesus to those that we come in contact with, perhaps to the clerk at the grocery store. We can be positive and kind and have some good things to say to them for the work that they are doing, and not be grumpy and miserable as it seems many are. And so we just pray that you will bless in these days, in our lives, for our work. Continue to bless the church here. We thank you for the careful giving of our folks that will, we believe, meet the needs of our church once again this month, and we thank you for that. And I thank you for the many men around this country who are doing video Bible studies through the week. They're doing streaming services even this morning, and for all those that are involved in getting those things out, we just pray that you'll continue to bless them and your word in these days. And I pray that you'll bless even our simple recordings of this service, our services, that it might be a blessing to the hearts of your people here. Thank you for an opportunity to be, quote, unquote, together this morning. And we ask that you'll bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning is going to be from Exodus chapter 7, the first 13 verses of the chapter, which introduce to us the coming plagues that are going to be upon the land of Egypt and upon Pharaoh. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 7, we're going to read verse 1 down through verse 13. This passage, of course, comes after the Lord has called Moses, who had been looking after sheep on the backside of the desert. And in Exodus chapter 3, which you may want to read as well, the Lord has called Moses, speaking to him out of that burning bush, remember, and called Moses to go back to Egypt and to lead his people out of that land to the promised land that he has prepared. So here is Exodus 7, beginning in verse 1. The Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt, and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, and then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And we'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word this morning.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best, thou art by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my.
Last week, I introduced a topic I've called Been Thinking About. We certainly do have lots of time to think, don't we, in these days? I hope you haven't stopped thinking and are keeping your minds sharp and keen, both by keeping aware of what is going on in the world and by keeping in the Word of God and praying as well. So last week, I was thinking about plagues. This morning, I would like to carry on looking into the Word of God concerning this topic, which is certainly on our minds in these days of the coronavirus. Last week, we took note of how many times the word plague, or the plural plagues, occurs in the Bible. Do you remember? It occurs some 128 times in 107 verses in 18 Bible books, 15 Old Testament and 3 New Testament books. We also defined the word plague as a calamity, an affliction, an acute, malignant, contagious, pestilential disease that strikes or smites an individual or even a nation. And we have found that the context of each reference describes the nature of the plague, the one who sends the plague, the one who has the plague, the reason for the presence of the plague, and then the response of individuals to the plagues that have come. And then last week, we considered the first and last verse in the Old Testament where the word plague occurs. Remember? The first place is Genesis 12, verse 17, which says, "And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife." And we took some time to look at the context of that passage and to draw out a few truths from that. You'll have to listen to last week's message on in the recording to get the rest of that. And then the last verse in the Old Testament that has the word plague is Zechariah 14:18, which says, "And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague, wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." In these two references, there are different circumstances and individuals and nations involved, but in both of these instances, the plague was or will be given by the Lord. And the reasons involved rejection of God's will and of his command to mankind. And then we considered the first and last verse in the New Testament where the word plague occurs. The first place in the New Testament is Mark 3, verse 10, which says, "For he, Jesus, had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, and as many as had plagues." Here we find that the Lord Jesus was healing plagues, even through people touching his very garments. To touch him, they were healed of their plagues. No comment as to why these plagues were on people, but just the fact that Jesus was able to heal them. And the last verse in the New Testament, and in the Bible, of course, is Revelation 22, verse 18, which says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, that if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book." And we took a look at one instance of plagues that were going to be sent, that are going to be sent by the Lord during the days of the tribulation. We then thought about the context of these verses to see what we could learn about plagues and God's purposes and man's response. And so I encourage you once again to listen to last week's message just to remind yourself about what we had talked about. This morning, I'd like to go back into the Old Testament and consider another reference to plagues. There are so many and there's so much to learn. We could spend quite a bit of time, but we'll pace ourselves here today. If I was to ask you what situation comes immediately to your mind when you hear the word plague, what would that be? Well, perhaps the most well-known situation of plagues are the plagues that God brought down upon the nation of Egypt, and especially Pharaoh, at the time when the Lord was wanting to deliver his people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt and bring them to the promised land. Do you remember how many plagues there were? Exodus chapter 7 to chapter 12 record for us the 10 plagues that God brought upon the land of Egypt. Do you remember what they were? Well, let me give you a short synopsis here. The first plague was turning the water to blood. That would be the waters of the Nile and all springs, even the water that people had in cruises in their home, was turned to blood. Chapter 7, verses 14 to 25. What's interesting is that the magicians of Pharaoh's court also did the same thing. Why in the world they would want to turn water into blood is kind of beyond our wonder here, but I suppose that they were just trying to show that they were just as powerful as any god that Moses and Aaron would represent. The second plague was frogs. Frogs filling the land, frogs everywhere and in everything. This is chapter 8, verse 1 through to verse 15. This plague also was copied by Pharaoh's magicians, so they just intensified the number of frogs that were in the land. Not a very wise thing to do, it seems to me. Third plague was lice. Lice filling the land, that's chapter 8, verses 16 to 19. and a bothersome plague and pestilence affecting all of mankind. Once again, Pharaoh's magicians were able to copy that same plague. The fourth plague was that of flies. Chapter 8, verse 20 to 28. Flies all over the place and in everything. We know what it's like to sit out on the patio and be bothered by flies that kind of swarm around. They're not very pleasant. Here the flies were brought in and filled the land. And interestingly enough, there is no comment made about the magicians doing the same thing. The fifth plague was that of what is called in the King James Bible, murrain. This is a disease. The Hebrew word is debir, which means a pestilence. It affected all of the livestock, cattle, horses, everything. All the livestock were affected by this murrain disease. That's chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And once again, no comment about anything that the magicians did or did not do. Plague number 6 was the plague of boils, chapter 9, verse 8 through verse 12. And this time we're told that the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils that had affected them and affected their bodies. That's chapter 9, verse 11. And certainly don't think that they were trying to copy that particular plague at this point. Seventh plague was the plague of hail, chapter 9, verse 13 to 35. If you're walking through the scriptures with me in this, look at chapter 9, verse 28 to 35. Interesting comment from Pharaoh. This is after the hail has come and destroyed all their crops and everything. And it wasn't just hail, but there was lightning, fire running along the ground, all kinds of things. Here, verse 27, chapter 9, it says, Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. Notice this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. There's a purpose for sending the hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. So here's Pharaoh, he's confessing that he has sinned, but when the trouble stopped, he just went back to what he was before. There was no real repentance on his part. And interesting that Moses knew that this was going to happen, that they had not yet learned to fear the Lord in all of this. And so we understand and see the reaction and the response to the hail on the part of Pharaoh. Plague number 8 is that of locusts in chapter 10, verses 1 through 20. We, not here in our part of the world, but over in Africa, East Africa, they have been dealing with a plague of locusts as well, which are devouring all kinds of crops and whatnot. Interesting that that plague should occur at a time when the whole world is dealing with the coronavirus plague as well. So that was locusts. Plague number 9 is the plague of darkness, chapter 10, verse 21 to 29. This darkness wasn't just, you know, something being at night. This was a whole day. In fact, the darkness lasted for 3 days in the land of Egypt. It was described as a darkness which may be felt, a thick darkness in verse 22. And guess what? People were not going out of their homes. They were experiencing a home isolation in all of this because the darkness was so bad. And then the last plague, number 10, is the death of the firstborn, both of man and of beast. Chapter 11, verse 1, all the way through chapter 12 and verse 36. Here we read in chapter 12 about the institution of the Passover, the lamb being selected on the 10th day of the first month, called Nisan, and the lambs being kept up to the 14th, killed between the evenings, the lambs eaten in the homes after the blood had been applied to the door posts and the lintel. And at midnight of the 14th, the Lord said when he went through the land, when he saw the blood, he would pass over those homes. But every home that did not have the blood, there would be the death of a firstborn. So those are the 10 plagues that were sent against Egypt and against Pharaoh so that the Lord might show himself that he is the Lord, that he is the God of this earth and the universe, and that he might teach Pharaoh and others about who he was, and then also to bring his people out of Egypt to the promised land. It's important to note that these plagues were not arbitrary. They were quite sent quite on purpose, and we'll look at that purpose in a moment. We note that the children of Israel had been slaves of the Egyptians for 400 years. Their cry reached the Lord in heaven. He sent Moses to bring his people out of bondage and into the promised land. Now, the Egyptians worshipped a whole host of deities. They worshipped the sun. They worshipped the waters of the Nile. They worshipped beasts. They worshipped a whole host of deities. Most of them were nature deities. And so the 10 plagues got brought on Egypt were against these nature deities of Egypt, showing the Lord, all capital letters, the Lord God Jehovah, as more powerful over anything that Egypt worshipped. As we mentioned, they worshipped the Nile River and the refreshing waters in it, and the first plague that God sent was to turn those waters into blood, making them completely undrinkable. Each plague that God sent was directed against each of the gods Egypt worshipped. The 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, was against the worship of mankind. Pharaoh considered himself a god, and the people worshipped him as such. But God is more powerful than any nature imaginary small g god. The Lord God is the true living God, and these 10 plagues revealed that truth in miraculous fashion. Several times in this record, the Lord reveals his purpose for sending the plagues. For example, in Exodus chapter 7, verse 5, it says, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." Here is a purpose: that the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, all capital letters, the self-existent God, Jehovah himself. And then down in verse 17 of Exodus 7, we read, "Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood." Once again, the purpose that thou, Pharaoh, Egyptians, and I would suspect even Israel, the Israelites as well, thou shalt know that I am the Lord. In Exodus 8, verse 22, in the same passage, section of scripture, says, "I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth." Not just Egypt, but in the midst of the whole earth. In Exodus 10, verse 2, that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's sons what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And then finally in Exodus 12:12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So, for both Israel and Egypt, God sent these plagues, that they all might know that he is the Lord, the living God, the self-existent God, the creator God, the holy God, and that there is no God beside him. He is the Lord. So in the face of any plague, including the coronavirus 19, we all ought to recognize that the Lord God Jehovah is the living God, and we must worship him, not anything else. It's interesting to reflect on our current situation with the closure of almost everything today. Let me read you a little thing that somebody has posted and put on Facebook. This was posted on April the 7th, back on April the 7th, from an individual named Deborah Bennett. I don't know who she is, but she comments, heard this on the radio this morning, April 7th. Quote, in a matter of a few weeks, God has taken away everything we worship. God said, you want to worship athletes? I will shut the sports arenas down. You want to worship music? I will close the music concerts. You want to worship actors? I will close the movie theaters. You want to worship money? I will shut down the economy and take away jobs. You don't want to go to church? I will close the churches so you can't go. Maybe we don't need a vaccine. Maybe we need sincere repentance. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will hear their land. Amen. Interesting, isn't it? That everything that mankind has come to worship has been basically taken away and shut down in the current state of affairs. If you worship entertainment and celebrities, Hollywood's closed. Theaters are closed. You worship sports and athletes and all that kind of thing, arenas are closed and all sports are suspended. Money, economy is closed and struggling. Materialism, the malls are closed, can't do it. Just go shopping anytime that you feel like wandering through them all. Church, it's closed. Health is fragile. Seems that everything that man has grown to worship is now suspended and taken away. Could this be God's purpose in the current plague we are experiencing? Is this God's means of getting the attention of the world that he is God, he is the Lord, and none else? That we are to worship him and him alone? That we need to reflect on the state of our lives and the sinfulness and iniquity that abound in our world and repent of that and turn to him? Who do you worship? If you say God, someone said, that's a good choice because God never changes. Now, consider this passage of Scripture. Just before God brings the seventh plague upon Egypt, the plague of hail. This is Exodus chapter 9, verses 13 to 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand, that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. How should we think about COVID-19, coronavirus? Should this virus not drive us to attend unto the Lord our God, to seek his face, to examine our hearts and lives and repent of sin and the worshiping of things other than him? Our world needs to know that there is none else like the Lord. His name is to be declared throughout all the earth. This ought to be a time of humbling ourselves before God and recommitting ourselves to believing in him and serving him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to worship him and him alone. Interesting that when we hear from our politicians and from health authorities and all kinds of businesses that are sending out words and notes of encouragement, there is no mention at all of God. We're all going to get through this together. You know, we're going to find the solutions, and we're doing this and we're doing that for the well-being and the sake of the health and of people, because we don't want anybody to die. Well, that's a lost promise in itself, because we will all die anyways of some sort of thing. But there's no mention of saying, hey, you know, we need to think our what we do, our actions. We need to confess our sin, repent of it before God, and turn to him, and perhaps he would take the plague away sooner. Nothing is mentioned like that. But as believers, as Bible believers and Christians, we acknowledge that that needs to be a significant purpose and thought behind what we are experiencing today. Here's a few verses to meditate on, perhaps even to memorize, if you like. In Psalm 139, verse 23 to 24, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." In Psalm 51, verse 10, the psalmist David writes, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." In Isaiah 40, verse 31, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." You can think of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May we not falter in our faith, but rather remain steadfast and strong and to walk in the fear of the Lord every day of our lives. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to dig into a little bit more of your word this morning, and for this massive occasion of the 10 plagues brought against Egypt and the purposes that you had in doing that, that people might know, all might know, that you are the Lord. There is none else like you in all of the earth, and that your name should be spread around this world. And we pray that as we've taken a cursory look at those 10 plagues, that we might perhaps see a similar reason and purpose for the plagues that we are experiencing in our world today, and that these things might drive us to consider our own hearts, our own lives. The wickedness of this world is so well attested to, it's unbelievable. We know that even with the canceling of many surgeries because of this virus, one thing that's kept going is the abortion mill. And we just find that that is terribly expressive of the heart and the ways of mankind on this earth that needs to be addressed and needs to be repented of and stopped. And we pray that you would help us as we have opportunity, maybe as things begin to relax a little bit in terms of home isolation, that we would have opportunities to talk to people further about these things that are happening and to direct them to the Lord. pray you'll bless your word to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you all, beloved. I look forward to the day when we will be able to meet together again in worship and fellowship. Remember, just because our services are canceled doesn't mean the church is closed. We are still here, still ready to minister to you. Just let us know if there is anything that we can do to help along the way. So have a great rest of the day. Have a good week ahead. Blessings on you all. Bye for now.